They'll set up a base camp, multiple generators. Each trailer would have a generator. It's like, there's got to be a better way that we can condense this down.
Hi, I'm Zena Harris, a founder and entrepreneur working in the entertainment industry for more than 10 years now.
And I'm Mark Raven, a two-time founder and innovator in the energy tech industry, and spent the last decade powering films, events, and festivals with renewable energy. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to The Tie-In. Today, we're talking with Mark Walter. We're super excited. I've known Mark for many years, almost, it feels like the better part of the decade, but I don't know. That's probably a little long, but yeah.
Not that long.
So Mark is a veteran studio executive and production infrastructure specialist with over 30 years in the entertainment industry. He's held leadership roles at Sony Pictures, Raleigh Studios, Cinelise, and Santa Fe Studios, and co-founded the Film Mare Island production campus here in Northern California. And today, Mark focuses on advancing sustainable, low-emission power and climate control solutions for film and television production worldwide. You are the guy for this podcast.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate being here. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, before we dive into what you're doing now, I'm curious, we have a longer bio that we read, or we read before coming on, just to get a sense. And it says you started as a firefighter and now you work in entertainment. How did that leap happen?
So I've been asked that question a couple of times in my career. It is a big leap, but I think it's really important to kind of where I am today and kind of my roots. I was hired by the U.S. Forest Service at the Bear Divide Hotshot. So we would fight forest fires, brush fires. Was there seven seasons? Kind of going back, I was studying fire science, and just like most of the guys my age at that time, and had an opportunity and applied, and yeah, it changed my life. And I'm still friends with those guys. A lot of them now are either retired or, you know, chiefs or captains. But on the transition part where everyone asks, so in the winter, I would go into fire prevention. And there was a film called Cable Guy. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes.
Cable Guy. So that was shot in our area. And so at the when that was happening, they wanted me to be the fire safety officer.
Yeah.
So I had taken this training class over at Sony Studios to get certified through the state of California. Met some folks there and they said, hey, do you want to come work with us? And at the time I knew nothing about production. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about that. And so started working in there, got into operations. At that time, that's in the late 90s, Sony was acquiring a lot of different properties, either by, you know, purchase or lease in the Culver City, LA County area. So I was put on this team that would go and assess the buildings and started working with the city and started, and again, because of my background in the fire department, it was a kind of a natural fit. Mm-hmm. Then when Manhattan Beach Studios was being built, they asked me to come help out and do kind of the same thing, work in operations and liaison with the city and the studio. And at that time, that was the newest studio in town. You know, it was at an LA center. So work with Gary Bastian, who's the studio designer. And, that was the crown jewel of, new studios. It was the first studio built in 40 years, that in LA Center.
Wow. Okay. And
yeah, so
go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you've seen it from sort of inception to full operation. What's changed, in the last 30 years that you've been seeing this? And, that's a lot of stuff going on there, because you've been obviously opening up,
my friend.
Yeah, even opening up like we're just going into it, opening up, Mare Island as well, and now you're, in on the vendor side. I mean, there's a lot of stuff has happened in the last 3 years. There's a lot of stuff that's happened in the last 2 years.
Sure.
I mean, how are you keeping up with this stuff?
Well, yeah, and I think going back, I mentioned Gary Bastian. He's a studio designer. He's based there in Southern California, and, he's the best. And so a lot of the stages have his DNA on it in terms of how they're constructed from the ground up. And so all of those studios are, you know, green, sustainable type construction. And it's just, it's improved over that time. So if you look at what we did in Manhattan Beach to now to some of the studio projects that he's on and some of the other, you know, larger builders that are doing, they're all very, very in tune with what's going on with, you know, today's construction. So yeah, I think that, actually, I think the entertainment industry and the studio, studios in general were kind of ahead of the curve, to be honest with you. I know with Manhattan Beach, we implemented some programs there in Manhattan Beach at the time were the first of their kind. We started this repurposing, reusing of set pieces and certain things that would used to go into trash. We were one of the first to separate, you know, like steel from wood, from trash and things of that nature, which, you know, in the 90s and before, they didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
So we really were focused on that. I remember we would go through stages with coordinators, construction coordinators, producers, and say, hey, we can reuse those windows or reuse those doors or the awnings, things that would before maybe land up in a landfill. We started repurposing, and I think the shows appreciated. We started a program with a local university where we would donate like nondescript flats, you know, set pieces to them.
Totally.
Yeah.
And can you remind me the date of that activity?
So let's see. That was 2001. That
around that time frame. So yeah, a long time ago.
A long time ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Before there was sustainability things.
Correct. Yeah. Before it was cool.
Sustainability stuff and reusing, walking the stages and all. Like.
Yeah.
Years before the studios even hired sustainability like execs at their, you know, because that was like 06 was when that really
came. I know. I feel like it was around that time, like the early 2000s, when it really kicked in. And I know that, and even our clients were more into it. Before, you would kind of fight the crew on, hey, can you, you know, resolve? But around that time, I think they really became more educated on the importance of it. And yeah, they were all in. And our staff is all in, and maybe it was, you know, at the time it was a kind of a younger, you know, independent studio at the time. And, but yeah, we really implemented that. And I know they're still doing today.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked down at Manhattan Beach Studios a few years ago. So I'm kind of fresh in my head. I'm curious when you kind of made the transition or started thinking about like the energy side, the battery power unit side. Like I know that's where you and Mark kind of made a connection.
It was Mark. Yeah. It was really Portable Electric. You know, there's an interesting story behind that because one of the gentlemen that worked for Mark at the time had reached out to me as Phil Mayer Island, not as and had said, hey, you know, I think at the time they had, you know, gone there and some of the guys was at least kind of kicked the tires and had passed on it. And it was really new at the time.
Yeah.
And then he had reached out to me. I'm like, whoa, hey, yeah. You know, we're kind of looking for that type of stuff. I had just moved from Southern California to the Bay Area. And we have a huge island there with a bunch of space that we had to, you know, to do different things. So when he brought it up, I said, yeah, I would like to check it out. And so I brought it into Fillmore Island and then went back to Sicily's, which the time was obviously I was working with them. I said, hey, we really got to look at this. And then eventually Sicily's, and then I believe Mark Kirk, you know, started carrying it. And so I think at that time, and Mark, you could probably comment on this better than I, we would, it was like kind of the beta version, kind of it was a brand new. And then you guys adapted it for the film industry, put Camlock, did some things, and then got I think at the time the rub was, hey, it's not big enough. And, you know, of course everyone wants bigger. They still want bigger. And I know we're probably going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, at the time. And so, it was Portable Electric that was working on, you know, getting, you know, what our clients wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was interesting is that in those early days and around innovation, there's a couple things. One is some, you just said it earlier, but it's like people are like, oh, we've been looking for this or we've been waiting for this, you know, because you probably had it somehow in your head from a while back. It's just like, it's not, you know, temporary power is not a new thing, obviously, in film.
Sure.
But it really takes buy-in from folks who are the early adopter visionaries who understand that. And I think that was part of it. Working with someone like you, it's a collaborative effort, right? Because we came in from more of like the live event side of things and didn't really, you know, we had to learn the film side. And I remember, and I don't know, you don't, Mark, know this part, but part of how we got into film was Xena.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right? So I had this little shop with like a little like 200 square foot like little area where we kept our first prototypes, and it was like a big maker space style, if you can invent, you know, it's just like there was a wood shop there and there was the garage here and it was all this stuff going on. Yeah. And Xena came in and she's like, okay, what the hell's going on here? Like,
love it.
And so that was, and then we got it on the Man in the High Castle at that time. And that was 2018 and 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's fun, but it anyways, long winded, but to say that, like, you know, it takes folks. The first reaction people say is, oh no, not going to work. Right. You're like, this is, there's kind of like a film default to be like, no, this is how we do it.
Sure.
So can you talk about that culture? I mean, you've got experience from around the world, you know, various studios, you know, you're working on the vendor side now. Can you help us understand the culture piece of all of this? Like, what do you hear? You know, what's the first reaction when you're talking about, you know, maybe your equipment now or just, you know, back in, you know, the operations side?
Yeah. Well, I think kind of let's go back one step. I think that when I went from strictly dealing with, you know, kind of being on the lot, and then moving to an environment where you were, like you had mentioned, internationally, like in the Philippines or in Santa Fe, a lot of the times when folks are shooting, and here in the Bay Area as well, you know, folks will come out and they'll set up a base camp. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started really realizing, like, hey, you know, we got these huge generators going, multiple generators. Each trailer would have a generator. It's like, there's got to be a better way that we can condense this down, utilizing, you know, better state-of-the-art technology. And so I think that's where it first kind of hit me big time, because before you're on a movie lot, there's not a lot of portable power going on. Maybe if there's a bat lot situation or something really strange. Otherwise, we would just run the distro out to wherever we were, say, on the lot. But I think at the expansion to the different states, to the different countries, and the fact that here in the Bay Area, we get a lot of productions that just come in for our locations, to be honest. You know, some of my folks come to the island because they love the look of the island, or they want to use, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge or Chinatown or, you know, whatever. So we got a lot of requests like, hey, we want to set up a base camp. And so I think that's where that came. And then I think people also, to your main question, Xena, is that there's been a shift in how people just think about energy, think about what they're doing, thinking about, is this the right kind of energy that we should be using for this? You know, because sometimes we may overpower a situation or have too many James when you don't need that.
I mean, so part of this is also like a conversation around kind of efficiency, right? I mean, you know, when LEDs came in, everything got 10x more efficient, and all of a sudden that made batteries more efficient and so on. Is there like new tech in HVAC and air that's making those units way more efficient and then more amenable to, like, is the same trend?
Absolutely. You know, I think it kind of goes along with them, and you guys have probably hear about this on other shows, but it seems like some of the units that are coming out of Europe, I think they're maybe even ahead of us at this point, especially with some of the portable power systems, the hybrid systems, some ESS systems. Technology is moving fast. And so something like, for example, I was working with a company with a this great hybrid system in 2023. And then I talked to them, I think it was like, you know, 6 months later, like, oh, we're already working on the next generation of units. And I'm like, whoa. So I think that sometimes may hurt, you know, folks on the equipment side who's investing in that technology, because if you invest in something, obviously you want to make sure that it's going to be usable for at least a couple years, because they're very expensive units.
Yeah.
But to your point, Mark, yes, everything's getting more efficient. HVAC systems, the power, for example, some units that you can plug in to just, you know, a 110 outlet, like a basic outlet in cooling, which is pretty crazy if you think about it. Now, again, that's a small unit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one of the larger, you know, chiller units. But to your point, I think they're getting better and better.
Yeah. And just that double click on the hybrid side, because I remember, like, you know, 10 years ago, we were doing some hybrid stuff with our, both the small stuff and the larger stuff, right? And now we're seeing it. I'm seeing some folks in the industry posting all the time. It's like, they're like, yeah, we're doing our power, you know, this is our hybrid unit. And so is that. And it's like, it's become now the thing acceptable to do it. But that was a long road. That's not an overnight thing. But where's your take on hybrid systems? And also, you know, I'm seeing like a generator and a battery, right, on a trailer. Are you seeing any fully integrated hybrid systems? And what's your take on that? Because I think that's the future of even construction site power too, or everything.
I agree. Yeah. And I think that is right now, you know, we talk about some of the majors, like let's say Netflix and Amazon, and they have put some mandates out like, hey, we want to see what you guys have. And so we're working on it so that, and I mention that because some of these systems we are just looking at and speaking to manufacturers. And I think from like 2023 on until like today, I've been reaching out to different manufacturers. I talked to someone that's in the Netherlands, the UK, Germany, all over. And I feel that right now the hybrid systems are kind of the best of what we got right now for something like, you know, a base camp power where we need a lot of power, unless you're going back to some of the current equipment we have here in California. But I love them. I think that, yeah, to your point, Mark, they are the future. And unfortunately, I don't think that just the battery systems alone are as robust as some of the productions need, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned the evolution, like, you know, technology is changing quickly. I remember, you know, a few years ago, we were doing a project with a client where we were listing out all, you know, kind of all of the units, what they, you know, their specs, everything. And that took time. And by the time we got to, you know, not publishing publicly, but internally, like, things have already changed in the industry. Like, wait a second, this company just came out with this other thing. You know, we've got to update the specs. And so there's a lot of movement in this space. And interestingly, and I'm curious if you've seen this, we've got people, you know, like, for years, it needed to be like, you know, the version of one-to-one almost, where it's like, you know, the battery needed to have as much, you know, capacity as the generator, like the 1400 amp generator. And, you know, people were, you know, comparing that. And sure, of course, they're different systems. It's not a one-to-one exactly, but that was the mindset. And now what we're seeing is more distributed power with smaller battery units, and people want them to be small so they can, you know, carry them around. I'm just curious if you're seeing that kind of thing too with the equipment that you're, you know, engaged with.
Absolutely. You know, going back to, you know, actually it's with Portable Electric, you know, those units are on a lot of, like, automatically are on a lot of the 5 and 10 ton packages in the industry, those types of units.
Yeah.
And again, as they get lighter and they get better, that's standard. I know that a lot of the folks are requesting those types of units. And I think, Mark, you had mentioned like the live events when you were focused on, we're focused on that as well. You know, if you think about a concert or a music festival, they don't, you know, they're looking for that alternative power, you know, and the most efficient way. They're always coming as, you know, they have to air condition a 10. But previously, that would take a heck of a lot of power. But yeah, I mean, that's major. We had a couple units in Hawaii, and this was during right before the tragic fires there. And so I worked with the county, the film office there in Maui County. So we just happened to have a couple units there. And so I called them and said, hey, you know, dude, we have these units, you know, can you use them? He goes, heck yeah, because, you know, obviously they had evacuation centers and things. So I flew out, was out there for a couple weeks helping them, you know, set up those units and talking to those folks. And I know we're getting away from entertainment here, but everyone, like if you look at Hawaii, if, you know, when you're flying into Hawaii, every roof is solar. They're really looking for alternative energy sources and productions there. You know, there's certain guidelines in Maui that you can't bring, you know, a putt-putt generator out to some, you know, the volcano there, Haleakala. You can't do that. You know, so those states, I think Hawaii is going to be one of the first states that completely banned diesel generators, you know, because they're working on that with the county of Maui. And so, and that's why they're there. I think at the time it was a there was a Disney production that wanted to utilize the units. But again, yeah, I'm seeing more of that. And to your point, the technology is getting better. Yeah. The batteries are getting better. If you look at some of those hybrid systems, the one I saw initially was a 40-foot container. Now they're like 20 or 10, you know, same amount of power, you know.
Totally. And let's just, you know, still shifting gears a little bit about the future. Like, I mean, the film industry has kind of gotten hammered here, right? Like, I mean, COVID, the writer's strikes, the AI strikes / AI in general, which is something we talk a lot about, systems change and just different things that are affecting the industry. Yeah. What are you seeing right now? What are people talking about behind the scenes that, you know, like, cause it's an interesting time.
It really is. And politically, I guess I should be careful what I say because, you know, I'm here in California. This is my home. I grew up in Southern California and work here in Northern California. I've been up here 10 years. But everything you said really affected production and I think even budgets. And that also goes into, how much money they're going to spend on equipment.
Yep.
So I think in California, you know, as we know, they increase the incentive, you know, the California State Film Office is working hard and I'm seeing those productions. So I get a list of those productions that have been awarded the incentives and they try to make sure it's fair and that some of them are coming here in Northern California so that we get a shot at those. Unfortunately, I think for us, we don't have the infrastructure in terms of the stages necessary for some of the larger shows. I mean, we have large buildings, but we still need to work on our infrastructure here in Northern California. But yeah, I see an uptick. I think that change in the incentive helped. I know some of the other states like Georgia still, you know, they've been affected and it's been hurting them. But then a lot of states have, you know, thrown their hat in the ring. I don't know if you guys keep up with that, but as those states bring on their incentive programs, like Texas, for example, just brought a really
big one.
Yeah, and so that steals business from California and kind of going way back. And you know, everyone used the term runaway production. You know, again, that was like in the late 90s, but that was Canada. And Canada has a national program along with the UK. Folks like it. I mean, we have Disney here, or I should say, you know, Lucasfilm here in the Bay Area, and they still do most of their stage work in the UK because of those incentives.
Right.
I don't know how we kind of get that back, but I feel that with the state of California taking that big step, it's been helpful.
Well, I'm curious, how can people find out more or where can they reach you?
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys will put the link on.
We'll put it in the notes.
Yeah. No, it's so good to be on the show. And Mark, it's good to see you again. Zena, it's so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I'll have you back. Because we're always up for, you know, hearing the juice on the, you know, sustainability, efficiency, power, like trends and, you know, so great. Yeah. Thanks so much for being on. We really appreciate it.
Great. I appreciate it.
Our designer is Aaliyah Kane. Music is by Peter Chapman. Social media is by Sharon Ewan. Our editor and producer is Rachel Werbel.